Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Monday, March 25th, in the headlines. Former IMF financial economist and United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine contends that the DLP regime failed to use the vast amounts of CBI revenues for the development of Dominicans at home and abroad. The United Nations applauded CARICOM's efforts to broker a political resolution to the crisis in Haiti and recognized CARICOM's key role in facilitating Haiti's efforts to overcome their political stalemate and security situations.
Wherever it happens.
And Russia and China vetoed a U.S. proposal at the U.N. Security Council for an immediate and sustained ceasefire lasting roughly 6 weeks that would protect civilians and allow for the delivery of humanitarian assistance. The news is brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens,
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth. Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Former IMF financial economist and leader of the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, is of the view that the DLP regime in office has not effectively utilized the revenues generated through the Citizenship by Investment program for the development of the local economy or in the best interest of Dominicans at home and in the diaspora, resulting in the stagnation of the country's economy and its main sectors like agriculture and agribusiness. Dr. Fontaine highlighted the attention to insights from the recent IMF country report, indicating anticipated growth in visitor stayover as a notable aspect for economic development, expressing interest in this projected avenue for growth of the country.
We have not been able to use the resources of the CBI program to build Dominica. So we have a situation where our economy is stagnating. When I look at the report, our report talks about the growth that's going to come from stayover visitors. It's interesting that the IMF is pinning its growth on stayover visitors, because obviously they were sold that lie by the government that our stayover is going to increase to 500,000. Yeah, if you move from 80,000 to 500,000, that's a very significant growth. If you read the report, that's exactly what it says. It says that growth will be underpinned by the stayover visitors. Tourism is going to get a major boost this year. But that is what the government is telling them. But what is the reality on the ground? Are we seeing any signs that tourism is going to be on the increase? There is nothing about agriculture.
Dr. Fontaine further highlighted the absence of the agricultural sector in the IMF report, emphasizing that significant revenue growth could be achieved through proper investments in that sector.
There is nothing absolutely about agriculture, and agriculture could bring the kind of monies. You know, in 2016 in Dominica, I got a title that I wore very, very proudly by one of the ministers, referring to me as a huckster, and that I wore very, very proudly, because that huckster was bringing in about $50,000 every week into the communities of Grand Fond River Zurich from the export of agricultural produce to Martinique. So it was okay. I was happy to be called that, because I could go back to the shops and I could be given a drink. I could be offered a beer, offered a drink by the individuals who were making the money, because they were beginning to see the money coming in. You know, they were beginning to see. I mean, so it was okay for me. I was benefiting from it, you know, directly. So that was fine. But I'm saying that to say that we, in agriculture, the kind of opportunities there are, okay, that was just a very small operation, you know, and I could never get enough produce. I could never get enough of the what was being required at this time.
And that was a former IMF financial economist and United Workers' Party leader, Dr. Thompson Fontaine. During the closing ceremony of Forest Week 2024 on Friday, the World Bank representative conveyed that the allure of visiting Dominica extends beyond its scenic beauty. Instead, she emphasized that the significant preservation of Dominica's forests serves as a global symbol for understanding the imperative of protecting and conserving natural resources for a brighter future, especially for small islands. She called for acknowledgement of the value of natural resources and their pivotal role in sustainability efforts.
The reason I came is not only because it is a beautiful island, but because for the world at large, the importance and the conservation of Dominica's forests sends a very important signal. What it is like to work, conserve, protect, and strive for a better future on a small island. We stand today at the crossroads of environmental sustainability, development with sustainable growth on the one hand, and unsustainable development and economic growth on the other hand. It's a pivotal time and imperative all over the world that we recognize the intrinsic value of our natural resources and the role that they play in the very fabric of life. The urgency to protect your forests and the forests of the world cannot be overstated. As we face the global challenges of climate change, biodiversity loss, pollution, Dominica's forests stand as a beacon of hope and resilience. They are a testament to the island's commitment to preserving its natural heritage for future generations.
Natalia Magrat, World Bank Environmental Specialist. Speaking at the launch of Dominica Festival Committee's Jazz and Creole Festival last week, Destination Marketing Manager of the Discover Dominica Authority, Ms. Andia M. Rivera, sought to encourage the public to always support the island's festivals, highlighting how these events boost tourism-based economic activity. The launch took place at the Realm Dominica, located in Roseau. The festival is counted for May FIFA 2024, and will be staged at the Fort Shirley at Cabrits National Park in Portsmouth. Riviera said this year's Jazz and Creole Festival is shaping up to be an amazing event.
Now, our Jazz and Creole, it's a unique experience. It's us imprinting our Dominican twist on jazz. It's an infusion of our proud Creole culture and heritage, and it has evolved into an expression of our style and fashion. As Dominicans, we must own our own and be the marketing mouthpiece of this dynamic festival. In 2022, Jazz and Creole received 1,100 patrons. In 2023, over 2,600 patrons to be exact. 136% increase. Additionally, we have recorded 46% increase of arrivals the week before Jazz and Creole. I can say Jazz and Creole is now a fixture in our domestic market and has the potential to be positioned as a unique and captivating cultural offering, targeting every demographic, regionally and internationally.
And that was Discover Dominica Authority's Destination Marketing Manager, Ms. Andia M. Rivera. Violence plagues the region and represents a huge burden on health systems and has major economic costs to society as a whole. CAPA, in collaboration with the Government of St. Lucia, through the Ministry of Health, Wellness and Elderly Affairs, will host the 68th Health Research Conference from the 25th to 27th of April 2024. The three-day conference, which gives delegates a platform to network and share research and insights, will take place at the Royalton St. Lucia CAP Estate, Grosley. Addressing officials at the media launch of the conference, CAPA Executive Director Dr. Joy St. John warned, and I quote, "Crime and violence threaten the public safety, economies and mental health well-being, and is no friend to everyone. It affects all levels of society," close quote. The conference is the Caribbean's premier gathering of health research professionals. More than 150 participants will benefit from oral and poster presentations and concurrent sessions. Health researchers will be awarded at the conference for their outstanding contributions to public health in the region.
This year's theme, Violence in the Caribbean, a Public Health Crisis, addresses a scourge inflicting harm across our entire region. Crime and violence threaten public safety, economies, and mental well-being, and is no friend to anyone. It affects all levels of society. From the 25th to the 27th of April this year, in partnership with the St. Lucian Ministry of Health, Wellness, and Elderly Affairs, CARFA will welcome researchers, medical and public health officials, and professionals, and those from related fields to participate. We encourage lively discussions and exploration of research, analyses, and proposed solutions to address this public health crisis. Every year without fail, except 2020 because of COVID-19, CARFA delivers more than just a conference. Pre-conference meetings will focus on public health governance of the region and the CARICOM Chief Medical Officers meeting. The much-anticipated and prestigious awards banquet will acknowledge Caribbean scholars who have made significant contributions to regional public health advancements. Sincere gratitude goes to the St. Lucian government for hosting this conference during a time when combating crime and violence is a priority across the Caribbean.
Executive Director of CAPA, Dr. Joy St. John. Dr. Darius Lequart is seeking to interpret the words and purpose of Dominica's constitution and when it should actually be referenced in society. But many question the pragmatism of his approach, his understanding of the current political environment, and the manner in which the political directorate is treating the constitution, due to the excessive power that the constitution places in the hands of one man, the prime minister, and the absence of remedies beyond the justice system, which is often controlled or influenced by the political directorate. The Constitution is a body of fundamental principles or established precedents, according to which a state or other organization is acknowledged to be governed. According to Dr. Lequart, the purpose of the Constitution is to place limits on the powers of a government and advises against certain powers being used under specific circumstances.
The Constitution, I think, is something that is, it is the least understood thing we have. But it is not a Dominican problem. It's a problem that began in America and we have followed it. The Constitution is not here to protect our rights. Most people believe it is. It is not here to protect our rights. The Constitution, because remember, before we had a Constitution, we had laws. We had law courts. We had lawyers. And when our rights were violated, we went to the court. The Constitution defines our rights, but why does it define our rights? The purpose of the Constitution is to place limits on the powers that it had given to the government and says, you cannot apply, you cannot use those powers under these circumstances. So we should not try to use the Constitution to protect our rights. Because the issue of the Constitution is, but remember, I can't take you to court for violating the Constitution. I cannot, because there's no penalty for violating the Constitution. And we haven't asked those important questions.
And that was a theologist, Dr. Darius LaPointe. CEO of U95 FM Radio, Sheridan Gregoire, is convinced that constitutional reform will be needed to limit the constitutional powers of the Prime Minister's office. This as over the past two decades, many Dominicans have voiced concerns over some of the statements, appointments and decisions made by Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit, which have largely been controversial or appeared to have gone against the current framework of certain provisions of Dominica's constitution.
Put all the power in that man's hand, and the constitution allows you to do that. This man appoints the president, who's in charge of the electoral commission. He appoints the chairman of the IPO, who's in charge of integrity in public office. He appoints the police welfare commission, in charge of the police service. He appoints all these people who, like the DPP and the AG, and if we had an ombudsman, he probably would have appointed an ombudsman if he was inclined to do that. I know the Dr. Liquid, he has not a lot of views on that. But in fact, if this man is allowed to appoint the ombudsman as well, what do you expect to get? And then the chief elections officer, all of these people come under the man's ambit. He appoints the chairman of the electoral commission. So in essence, you listen to the comment made by the president of the CCG. Mm-hmm. He spoke about the question of prime ministerial governance versus parliamentary governance. And so it's clear to me that what we have is a prime ministerial governance where one man can decide all of the candidates who are going to be in his cabinet. So these people win, and then the cabinet now has major control in the parliament. So any decision that's taken in cabinet, which is really taken by this man because all of the people just agree with him, yes. So it goes to parliament and the eyes always have it. So the cabinet automatically becomes a legislature. And then, of course, because of the influence that the government has on appointing magistrates and DPP and AG, registrar, and you know, all of these people, many of them who are not are on contract or not fully appointed, you know, it means that these people work at his behest.
Additionally, Mr. Gregoire revealed the obvious that over the past two decades, some of the appointments of officials have been treated like a fever pit, as if providing personal favors to appointees in various positions of leadership, forgetting that the Constitution was the legal framework that has empowered the political figure to be able to appoint persons to certain positions in government or on statutory institutions.
If you have an independent IPO, right, Integrity in Public Office Commission, and the IPO, the chairman of the IPO decides, hey, you know something, you did something wrong. I'm going to take you up, right? I'm going to deal with this thing according to law, right? And then what happens? That prime minister cancels the appointment, they dissolve this thing and appoint new people. And since appointing the new people, you have heard nothing at all from the IPO. Explain to me how the constitution prevents that from happening, and how what do we do? Because I don't think you're looking for a lot of things, but let us be real. We're not talking about the next academic exercise. Yeah, the constitution is a piece of paper, yes. But if you have to flesh it out and bring it to life, that is people who have to make it work. And the people, obviously, if the police commissioner feels beholden to the prime minister and he allows the minister of national security to run things, if the person who's a DPP takes instruction from somebody, I'm not saying the person does, but I'm saying if they do and they decide to nolly prosecute a case, this is a point I'm making. Why is it that a judge has to come here and say to the people in the justice system, you have had some cases, you have 119 cases languishing over there. So many people on bail, their cases can't be heard for years. You are charging all kind of people in the opposition. 5, 6, 7 years, you cannot bring a case. You have no witnesses. You have no evidence. But you keep postponing it. Explain to me, how are you going to say, let's not blame the constitution. Let's not do this.
CEO of Q95 FM Radio, Mr. Sheridan Gregoire. In other news, the United Nations Security Council has expressed a strong support for efforts by the Caribbean Community, CARICOM, to broker a political resolution to the crisis in Haiti. In a statement, the Council recognized the key role of CARICOM in facilitating Haiti's efforts to overcome the ongoing political stalemate and security situation. It took note of the Overcome Declaration from a March 11th CARICOM summit in Kingston, where Haitian stakeholders committed to establishing a transitional governance arrangement, including a transitional presidential council and the naming of an interim prime minister. Embattled interim prime minister Ariel Henry agreed to step down once the transitional council was in place. The statement said that members reiterated their full support for a Haitian-led, Haitian-owned political process, urging inclusive dialogue to pave the way for free and fair legislation and presidential elections with a full, equal, meaningful, and safe participation of women and the engagement of youth. The Security Council strongly condemned the violence and the attacks carried out by the armed gangs in Haiti and stressed the need for more humanitarian aid and support for the Haitian National Police to restore law and order. It called for the swift deployment of a multinational security support mission as authorized last year. And the United Nations Security Council was unable to approve a resolution on Friday, urging an immediate ceasefire in Gaza as part of a hostage deal after Russia and China vetoed the proposal put forward by the United States. The resolution aims to establish a prompt and lasting ceasefire lasting around 6 weeks, ensuring civilian protection and facilitating humanitarian aid delivery. U.S. Ambassador to the UN Linda Thomas-Greenfield expressed disappointment over the veto by Russia and China, despite the majority of the Council supporting the resolution.
The United States' attempt to push for a ceasefire in Gaza while working to bring in more humanitarian assistance fell short at the United Nations Security Council. With the resolution vetoed, it leaves the situation in the region to face heightened concern after Israel's prime minister told America's top diplomat his army will go into Rafah with or without U.S. support.
The result of the voting is as follows: 11 votes in favor, 3 votes against, 1 abstention. The draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the council.
The vast majority of this council voted in favor of this resolution. But unfortunately, Russia and China decided to exercise its veto. And now, Russia and China will give you all sorts of explanations for its obstruction. But whether or not it will admit it, there are two deeply cynical reasons behind its votes. First, Russia and China still could not bring itself to condemn Hamas's terrorist attacks on October 7th. Can we just pause on that for a moment? Russia and China refuses to condemn Hamas for burning people alive, for gunning down innocent civilians at a concert, for raping women and girls, for taking hundreds of people hostage. This was the deadliest single attack on Jews since the Holocaust. And a permanent member of this council can't even condemn it. I'm sorry, it's really outrageous, and it's below the dignity of this body.
I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to the United States of America. The United Nations was established in the wake of the Holocaust to prevent such atrocities from happening again. Ambassador Thomas Greenfield, thank you for defending these values. Your determination to condemn the Hamas monsters and your conviction that the release of the hostages is not something that can be postponed shows true moral clarity.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. former IMF financial economist and United Workers' Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine contends that the DLP regime failed to use the vast amounts of CBI revenues for the development of Dominicans at home and abroad. 5DA.com. The United Nations applauded CARICOM's efforts to broker a political resolution to the crisis in Haiti and recognized CARICOM's key role in facilitating Haiti's efforts to overcome their political stalemate and security situation.
Our news.
And Russia and China vetoed a U.S. proposal at the U.N. Security Council for an immediate and sustained ceasefire lasting roughly 6 weeks that would protect civilians and allow for the delivery of humanitarian assistance. The news was brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.